Greetings, people of Earth. This is Zach, and welcome to another episode of Explains on the Bitcoin Well podcast. I'm recording this after a great late night spaces last night with Peruvian Bull and Q. I'm still recovering. We went till 11:30, I think. And look, that is late for a nearly 40-year-old father of two. We went deep down the rabbit hole on the real reasons for the Iran war, and how Bitcoin is changing the global system by flipping the incentive structure from lies and manipulation to incentivizing truth and integrity. You can go listen to that on X right now, or wait just a few days and it will be in this very feed. Of course, I have to have the obligatory price mention, as Bitcoin is currently holding 74K and looks primed to begin another bull run. Not financial advice, as I wouldn't be surprised to see another drop before the real run begins. However, Bitcoin is certainly holding its own during global times of crisis. One other note, we just switched to a new podcast host called Fountain, and I'm really excited about what these guys are doing. They've taken Adam Curry's podcast 2.0 idea to the next level, integrating Bitcoin and social media into podcasting in a way that I've never seen before. Definitely go check out what they're doing. You can grab the Fountain app on iOS or Android and listen to our show right from there. You can even stream some sats while you listen or comment on the episode. Today, we're getting into the nitty-gritty of how Bitcoin public and private keys work, how your addresses are created, and how you and only you can spend your Bitcoin. I mean, it is basically just magic, right? Hint, it's actually math. So let's step out of the noise and confusion of the weekly news cycle and relax into some knowledge and understanding. As always, email me at z.adair@bitcoinwell.com. That's z.adair@bitcoinwell.com. And if you have anything to say, good or bad, about what we're doing, please send it my way. All right, everyone, have a great day and let's jump in. We've spent the last few videos looking at Bitcoin from 30,000 feet. Miners burning energy, nodes enforcing the rules, difficulty adjustments keeping the clock ticking every 10 minutes, the history of money, and why the whole fiat system is built on a foundation of coercion. Big picture stuff. Important stuff, but now it's time to zoom in, way in, because there's a question underneath all of that we have not answered yet. And it's the most personal question in Bitcoin. When you buy Bitcoin, what exactly do you own? Where does it go? When your phone shows you a number and says that you have 0.05 BTC, what does that actually mean? Most people assume it works like a digital file, like downloading a song or saving a photo. They think there are little digital coins sitting somewhere on their phone on a USB drive in an app. Something tangible, something you can point to. Well, that mental model is completely wrong, and as long as you're holding on to it, you don't really understand what you own. Today, we're starting a four-part series on wallets, keys, and seeds. We're going to strip away the jargon and show you exactly how Bitcoin ownership works and how to hold it in a way that means you actually own it. It starts with destroying one very stubborn misconception and replacing it with the most elegant cryptography ever built into a monetary system. Let's go. First, let's break something. We've talked about this before in the series, but it's worth touching on again. When you hear the word wallet, your brain goes somewhere very specific. That leather thing in your back pocket, you open it up and the cash is right there inside. The wallet holds the money. Bitcoin uses the word wallet, so people assume the same thing. The wallet holds the Bitcoin. Well, it doesn't. Your wallet holds zero Bitcoin, and really nothing holds Bitcoin. Not your phone, not a USB stick, not a hardware device in a safe. None of those things contain your coins because Bitcoin doesn't work that way. Remember what we covered earlier in the series. Bitcoin isn't a file. It isn't a digital object. The only thing that exists is the ledger, the public blockchain, the time chain, the permanent record of every transaction that has ever occurred since January 2009. When you own Bitcoin, what you actually own is a specific cryptographically secured position on that ledger. You own the right to move a balance on the blockchain. So if your wallet doesn't hold coins, what exactly does it hold? Well, keys. Here's the mental model that actually works. Picture a wall of mailboxes. An enormous wall stretching further than you can see in either direction. Millions of them. Every single mailbox is made of bulletproof, indestructible glass. Anyone walking by can look through the glass and see exactly how much money is sitting inside. Because there are no secrets about balances. The whole ledger is public, after all. Each mailbox also has a slot at the top, open to the world. Anyone can walk up and drop money through that slot. You don't need permission from the owner. You don't need to register anything. You just drop the funds in and walk away. That mailbox is your Bitcoin address, which comes from your public key. It's meant to be public. Print it on a business card, put it on your Twitter bio, text it to someone who owes you money. That's the whole point. If someone wants to pay you, they look up your address, walk to your mailbox, and drop in the funds. Done. But here's the thing. The glass is impenetrable. You can't smash it. You can't drill through it. You can't pick the lock. The only way to open that mailbox and move the money inside is with one specific key. The exact key that was mathematically paired with that mailbox when it was created. That is your private key, and that is what is stored in your wallet. One small but important distinction before we move on. Your Bitcoin address and your public key are not quite the same thing, even though people use them interchangeably. Your public key is generated directly from your private key using an algorithm called ECDSA, or Elliptic Curve Digital Signature Algorithm. That's a mouthful, but what it means is your Bitcoin address is then derived from that public key through an additional hashing step. So the actual chain is private key generates public key generates address. The address is what you hand out to the world. It's just a more compact, safer representation of the underlying public key. Worth knowing if you ever go looking under the hood. For context, if someone has your public key, they can then find all of your addresses. So although your public key doesn't need to be a secret, as your private key does, you also don't want everyone to know your public key, only individual addresses. Your private key is the most important piece of information in Bitcoin, full stop. It's a string of raw data, a massive, randomly generated number. Whoever controls that number controls the Bitcoin in the corresponding mailbox. There's no appeal process, no customer service line, no court order that reverses the transaction. This is what not your keys, not your coins actually means. If your Bitcoin is sitting on Coinbase or Binance or any exchange, you don't have the private key, they do. What you're looking at on your screen if your money is in an exchange is just an IOU, a promise from a company. And we've watched those promises fail. Celsius, BlockFi, FTX, billions of dollars in customers' funds gone because the customers didn't hold their own keys. To truly own Bitcoin, you have to hold the private key yourself. Everything else is just trusting someone else's spreadsheet. So, if a private key is just a number, can't someone with a powerful enough computer just guess it? This is where human intuition completely breaks down. The math here is genuinely incomprehensible at the scale we're thinking about. A Bitcoin private key is a 256-bit number. The total number of possible private keys is roughly 10 to the power of 77. That's a one with 77 zeros behind it. For comparison, there are approximately 10 to the power of 80 atoms in the entire observable universe. Take every computer on Earth, set them all guessing a trillion combinations per second, run them for longer than the age of the universe, and they still wouldn't crack a single private key. It's not that it's very hard to crack, it's that it's mathematically impossible in any time frame that means anything. Your Bitcoin is secured by the foundational laws of arithmetic, not a company's cybersecurity team or a government's good intentions. That's a different category of protection than anything the legacy financial system has ever offered you. So, you have your address created by your public key, the mailbox anyone can drop funds into. You have your private key, the only thing that can open it. But how do you actually spend Bitcoin without accidentally revealing your private key to the world? Well, the answer is digital signatures. When you want to send Bitcoin, your wallet takes the transaction details, who you're sending to, how much, and combines them with your private key using a one-way mathematical formula. The result is a unique digital signature for that specific transaction. That signature does two things simultaneously. It proves to every node on the network that the person controlling the private key authorized this exact transaction, and it reveals nothing about the private key itself. The math only runs in one direction. You can verify the signature without reversing it. You prove you have the key without ever showing anyone the key. You authorize the transaction without exposing the secret. It's the most elegant security mechanism in modern cryptography, and it runs silently in the background every time you send a Satoshi. So, to sum up, your wallet doesn't hold coins, it holds keys. Your public key generates your addresses, which anyone in the world can send to. And your private key is the only thing that can move the funds, and the math protecting it is stronger than any bank vault ever built. And digital signatures let you spend without ever exposing the secret. That's the foundation of Bitcoin. Now here's the problem. A raw 256-bit private key looks something like this. Yeah, you can't memorize that. If you write it down by hand, a single wrong character, and you've locked yourself out of your own mailbox forever. So how do real people actually back this thing up? How do we secure something this critical without needing a mathematics degree to manage it? Well, in the next video, we're talking about seed phrases. 12 or 24 ordinary English words that can mathematically regenerate an entire wallet from scratch. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of engineering in all of Bitcoin. Once you understand how it works, you'll never think about custody the same way again. See you there.